morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you from the Shrine of Democracy, Mount Rushmore, South Dakota. I'm Stacy Ann, and you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting live. So glad to have you along today. It's going to be a great day throughout the Pacific Northwest and certainly right here in South Dakota. A little warm here, in fact. Yesterday it got near 95 degrees and a little humid. And in the Pacific Northwest and in Salem, I think the temperatures will continue to be in the 80s. It'll be a fantastic weekend. Want to encourage you to get out, enjoy the beautiful nature, go camping, maybe go kayaking. Enjoy this because we're having a fun summer. And even though we're enduring some of the COVID-19 and what I like to say now, the plandemic or the election infection, I heard that one yesterday. I thought that was really good. There are things that we can look forward to stay hope-filled during this time. And certainly being right here in the shadows of the Shrine of Democracy, looking up at the presidents, I'm encouraged and filled with hope, knowing that our founding fathers could lay such an incredible foundation that in these days we could look to as guidance for us. Those of us that are looking for inspiration and hope, particularly feeling oppressed in the Pacific Northwest, I want to tell you that there are people carrying us in prayer all over the country. And I don't know about you, that makes me feel encouraged and hope-filled. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, and I want to encourage you to listen live online, kslm.news. Of course, we're 1220 AM and 104.3 FM, and we're going to have this broadcast and the other broadcasts up on our website, and you can share them with your friends and family. And I want to say thank you. I've gotten some emails and some feedback. Thank you for giving me your feedback and giving suggestions on potential guests in the future as well. You can continue to send those to me at stacy@kslm.news. News. And a shout out to our friend Bill Sunderland from Country Financial Sunderland Agency, our sponsor of the morning show. You can get a hold of him at 503-885-0789. Well, you may or may not remember the fact that I used to live in South Dakota for over 28 years. And what brought me to South Dakota back in the day is in the summer of 1989, I got a call to work at Mount Rushmore, South Dakota. So I came out in between my college years to work at Mount Rushmore with an organization called A Christian Ministry to the National Parks. And right down below us right here, this is just a few weeks ago, the 3rd of July, actually, President Trump was right in this amphitheater given a presentation, and then they did fireworks up over Mount Rushmore. That same amphitheater, it's been adjusted a little bit and rehabbed a little bit. It looks a little fancier than 31 years ago, but we did Christian services right down there, worship services, and it was a team of four of us. There was a Catholic seminary gentleman by the name of Bob, a gal that did worship. Her name was Kathy. I was kind of more the people greeter, surprise, surprise. And then there was someone else who led Bible studies. There was a team of four of us that worked at Mount Rushmore for the summer and then did Christian ministry while we worked here. And that was a long time ago, but I'm telling you, I'm still just inspired today. And a little trivia for you. I've sat on a real close to the top of Mount Rushmore on George Washington's head. There's stairs that go all the way up behind there, and it was a long, steep climb. But back in the day, they used to let the workers go up there. I don't think they let them anymore. But I've been up, and I've seen the view from the top of George Washington's head. And that's encouraging and inspiring as well. I hope you're having a fantastic day. And I am so excited to share with you someone who's joining me on the morning show right here at Mount Rushmore today. This is a colleague and a friend, a mentor in radio for me for years. He has been a friend, and I'm excited to introduce to you this wonderful gentleman. His name is Dave Hunter, and he came from Colorado to share this time with you and me today. Dave Hunter, thank you for being here today.
I'm honored. Thank you for having me. So my question to you is, I just heard that comment about being on the top of George Washington's head. So the only people ever allowed up there were you and Nicolas Cage during National Treasure 2, or what?
yeah, he had to get my permission. No, just kidding.
You know, while you were doing your show open there, I was scaring up a Abraham Lincoln quote, because I come from a military family. Four boys in the family. My three brothers did military service. I did not. I was a radio geek from 16 years of age onward. And anyway, I think of all the sacrifices, and that's the word, sacrifices, that men and women have done for decades and decades. You know, I think of the word honor. I think of the word tribute. I was looking up at Abraham Lincoln's face on Mount Rushmore here, and I came to the quote, "America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves." And, you know, we're well aware of the political landscape, even hypersensitive to it. We have to be these days. And I have such concerns. I mean, you know my patriotism. You and I have known each other for a number of years now. And again, coming from a military family, it's like there's nothing else to look at. It's you know, God and patriotism and our rights, the government working, you know, for the people. You know, it shouldn't be fighting the people.
And that's exactly a good reminder, is that when we elect our officials, they're to work to serve us. We're not there to serve them. And we're in a season where so many governors across the United States right now are making decisions for their people, in a sense. And I just watched last night Governor Kristi Noem talk with Laura Ingraham on her show about the Sturgis motorcycle rally, and you're going to have the Sturgis motorcycle rally. And she says, yes, I've trusted our people. They've been vigilant and due diligence, and they're doing well to stop the spread. They're following the science, and each local community is doing their best part to contain it and stop the spread. And she's spot on and correct. Then you contrast to many other governors who don't trust their people, don't think that they can be responsible enough, that they're even recreationally, restaurants and dining places, they're shutting them down. Now you've been the last few years in Colorado. Give us an update of what you are seeing in Colorado and what your governor is doing there.
Well, unfortunately, the governor of Colorado, Governor Polis, just a couple of weeks ago, was pretty clearly agitated during one of his press conferences, Stacy. And it was when the numbers had dipped, but then they started rising again. So he was feeling the heat. And during a live press conference, he used some vulgarity and told everybody if they were selfish, and a bad word there. And he said, just wear the mask, you selfish. And I thought, my goodness. And, you know, berating people like that as leaders is not the way to go, in my opinion. And the Denver metro area is just... Here's what I noticed regarding masks, okay? There's a King Supers near us, a grocery store a couple of blocks from us, and I wear the mask, you know. It's like I'd rather not get into an argument with somebody, so I, you know, play the game, and I wear the mask and stuff like that. And it used to be that coming out of the grocery store, then people would slip it down under their chin. Well, since Polis's press conference, now I see people, despite it was like 97 degrees one day on an afternoon, people are wearing their mask all the way out to the car, getting into the car. And I thought, wow, you know, we hear the word sheep a lot, don't we?
The whole go along, get along to go along, and not wanting to cause ripples. And I get that. I understand, because for the most part, especially conservatives, we really want to be obedient, and we want to be a part of the positive. But when it starts violating our liberty, and it starts treating us like we're dumb and that we don't know better, and yet the science and the numbers don't add up. And recently, even in a conversation, both on the telephone and in a written conversation in an email in Oregon, looking at the numbers, they are telling us that the presumptive numbers and the actual cases are all together, and they're not going back and correcting the presumptive numbers that are not negative, that are negative. And so to me, it sounds like it's blown up, so people don't trust it, and that bleeds over into, and I will say, I know people that have had COVID and have survived COVID. I don't know anybody that's passed away other than Herman Cain from COVID. I do know that it is not fun to deal with it. Your wife had it. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, first of all, my wife seems to be one of those people that seemingly never gets sick. You know, I always tease her, you're cast iron, you never get sick. And one time, this was first week in April, she had an itchy nose and she thought, I must have a nasal infection. So she made a doctor's appointment, went in, the doctor examined her and said, I think you do probably have a nasal infection, but while you're here, we have the test kits. So they swabbed Robin's nose. And the next day, Robin was at work, and the doctor herself called an emergency call at Robin's place of employment and said, Robin, it came back positive. Get out of there. So it was right near the end of Robin's shift. She was about ready to clock out anyway. So she went to HR, and they all freaked out and said, get out of here. And she's like, well, I'm just giving you the news, you know. And interesting story, HR for this company said, go home, do the self-quarantine thing for 80 hours. So they paid her to sit home for 2 weeks. 80 hours, and they paid her, I think it was 250 a week, some hazard pay or something like that. Fortunately, and by the way, her doctor was baffled. She even used the word baffled. She said, Robin, she goes, number one, I believe you're on the outskirts of this. It's leaving your body right now. And she goes, think back a few weeks. Weren't you like washed out? Because we're hearing stories that people get out of bed and walk over to the TV or get out of bed and walk to the kitchen and they're completely washed out on their strength, exhausted. And Robin goes, no. And the only thing it affected, sadly, was her sense of taste and smell. And that seems to be a common denominator for a lot of folks that do get COVID. That's in the process of returning, thank God. But aside from that, she had no strength issues or anything else like that. I played it super careful. All the common areas in the house, like the microwave, the oven, the refrigerator door, everything like that. You know, I religiously cleaned down with alcohol, and we had separate bedrooms at the time, you know, just to play it super safe, separate bathrooms. And, you know, so there you go.
And so you never got it.
No.
And you live close to Robin, and Robin's place of employment, she's very around tons of people. It's in the retail industry and around a lot of people, and so she was exposed somehow, some way, but you never got it, and you're in close quarters. So that's some good testimony and good information to know. And I think, again, it goes back to being personally responsible, doing our part, and I always err on believing that people have good hearts, and they're going to do the right thing, and they're going to take care of their own people, their own family that it's risk. And I'm so over shaming and mass shaming, and I'm really concerned, friends, and about all the people that can't wear masks. And now I'm seeing stories of children and teenagers catching Fifth's disease and different things on their face and breaking out because they're wearing the mask. And I'm concerned about their development. It'll be interesting to see the results of the forced mask wearing and what's happening in places of employment, particularly where there's high activity, people having to be really physical in their places of work and wearing the mask. I am concerned about that. And I think, as I said, I think it's an election infection. I think a lot of us are saying after the election, we probably won't see much of this particular ailment, but it remains to be seen, I guess. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. We'll be back with more conversation at the Shrine of Democracy right after this. Good morning to you, broadcasting live in the Black Hills of South Dakota. We're here at Mount Rushmore. It's a beautiful day indeed. sunny sky with a little bit of clouds as they're approaching Mount Rushmore. I'm looking around and there's a few folks. It opens up, the Shrine of Democracy opens up at 5 a.m. in the morning. And there's a few families and folks coming up here. And of course, the roar of motorcycles all throughout the Black Hills. It's the 80th Sturgis Motorcycle Rally. And yesterday we broadcast right there in the heart of it at Black Hills Harley-Davidson. Lots of activity going on. And it was a fun, full day yesterday. People still rolling into town. I think the guesstimation this year is maybe 250 to 300,000. Now that's a lot lower than they've had before. I think the highest year they've ever had was close to 800,000 people, which is really interesting because our whole state here in South Dakota has about 900,000 people, so almost doubles the population. And certainly the town of Sturgis itself is real small. So you can imagine your small town where you live, you know, even you think about like Independence or Monmouth, all of a sudden thousands of people coming in and people setting up tents in the front lawn. You know, that's what's happening here in the Black Hills. And it's fun. People are coming from all over and many motorcycles will have Trump flags, the American flag. People are wearing Trump gear. It's a friendly, really friendly environment. And we are sitting down above the amphitheater right here at Mount Rushmore. And it's a beautiful sunny day. And I'm here with my friend Dave Hunter. Dave and I were at a Christian radio station right here in the Black Hills of South Dakota together. And we were just talking, there's things that we can do and talk about freely here on a talk show that in Christian radio, we pretty much stay away from politics. We don't really talk about that. We keep it positive, but we really don't talk about politics and have an opportunity to give our opinion. We kind of stay above all of that. What do you see, Dave, the difference between talk radio that you listen to and watch and even what you're doing now? Give us an update of what you're doing now in Colorado and how that differs from being in Christian radio for many years.
I'm actually doing traffic reporting for the news talk station in Denver. It's the Bronco station, big 50,000 watt AM that they tell us at night reaches like 34 states or something like that. But it's the big blowtorch AM station there. And sometimes my greatest enjoyment on that job is when I'm in the helicopter, when the main helicopter guy is on vacation and whatnot. I'm in the copter and somebody asked me, how do you like that? And I said, I love it. I said, I could do without the reporting. I just like the flying part, you know, but it's gorgeous to see the Front Range of Colorado. But the difference is stark, I think. I mean, we both know that secular conservative, if you will, is a lot more boisterous and people are just, you know, wearing their hearts on their sleeve. And it's good to hear. I mean, it's good to have your finger on the pulse of, you know, what is troubling people and what is concerning people. And, you know, I listen to a great deal of talk radio and watch, you know, Fox News predominantly. And eroding freedoms is what troubles me and my wife all the time. I mean, we're supposed to do is, you know, God's word commands, pray for your leaders and those in authority. So we're doing that all the time. And sometimes we get too much of a diet of, you know, Fox or whatever, you know, we can tend to, just speaking for my wife and I, it's like, all right, time to turn it off. You know, the next host comes on and rehashes the same thing. It's like, all right, we get it. We glean the headlines. And then, you know, we put on something like Daystar or something like that. That's a lot more positive environment. But I'm greatly concerned for this country, Stacey, as I know you are.
Well, when we look up here at George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, those two particular founding fathers, you know, they had such vision and they also had such courage. And I think of George as he was serving our country in the front lines of war, you know, and just the amount of courage and the man of faith that he was and how important those men and women right now, similar spirit raising up in patriots all across this country, realizing I cannot be silent any longer. And it's kind of like a frog in boiling water. If we don't stand for the little things, it's going to be harder to stand up for the bigger things that happen. And I think everybody, in fact, I had an email, is like, when are you going to stop talking about the mask thing? Because, you know, even the president's not even really focusing on that and talking about, not that we follow everything the president says right here at this radio station. In fact, if we see something that we don't agree with, we'll call it out as well. you know. But for the most part, we're concerned about the mask thing because we're being told that it's a blanket solution when we know indeed it isn't. And I think it's important to stand for and have that ability and have that ability to freely choose to wear it or not wear it and take that relative risk on our own. When we talk about this election coming up in Oregon, it's in 74 days because we do have vote by mail in Oregon. And so the ballots will be going out, even though the official election's like 90 days away. We really have to stand up and do something different. What are you seeing in Colorado? What's the sentiment there of what people are thinking they're going to do this election?
Really, it appears to me to be very up in the air. People that were dug into some viewpoints, I don't think necessarily are 100% locked in anymore. They're open to change. One of my great concerns, Colorado has, if you look at the number of abortions in Colorado, it's staggering just in that state alone. And it's a youthful environment. And a lot of that has to do with back in 2012 when they passed the marijuana law, and it's for recreational. And a good story, an accountant friend of ours who does our taxes for 25 years, she really has her finger on the pulse of demographics and, you know, all kinds of job changes and people coming into the state and stuff like that. And the numbers are huge, even to this day, after the recreational marijuana law went into effect. And it's a youthful environment there. And I don't remember the organization. It was a Christian organization that did statistics on what's called the Front Range, the Denver area, Denver metropolitan area, basically between Denver as the hub, Colorado Springs on the south, Fort Collins on the north. And the millennials, we hear that word, that demographic all the time. Something like one in, I think it was 36 or 26 people attend church. And that's really sad, you know. And when it comes down to, I picked up on your statement a little while ago that, yeah, we don't follow President Trump on everything. And, you know, he's a fighter. He's from New York. People are boisterous from New York, you know. But a lot of what it boils down to for me and Robin, my wife, Stacy, is the Republican Party is pro-life.
And that's exactly the truth. Standing up for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, at Mount Rushmore, South Dakota. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Broadcasting live at Mount Rushmore, the Shrine of Democracy. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And we are so thankful for the freedom and liberties that we celebrate each and every day. And as I say, it's good to have the Bible in one hand and the Constitution in the other hand. And we're geared up and ready to stand strong for our values. And I'm looking right now at these founding fathers. And if you've never had an opportunity to travel to South Dakota and see Mount Rushmore, and just miles away from here is Crazy Horse, and it attributes really to these courageous men who have had a vision to have a country that was free. And one of those liberties is freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And as we talk about our election coming right around the corner and voting our values, I think is a term that was real popular maybe about 15 years ago or so. And I think we need to resurrect that and bring that back and have people really, really challenge them as to why they believe in what they believe and to vote their values. And when I look clearly at the two distinguished platforms right now, two presidents, two different parties, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, what do they stand for? What are the party platforms? What's their ideology? And the thing that draws me to the Republican Party platform is the fact that they defend life, and not just say that they're pro-life, but it's life, in defending life from conception to natural death, I think is extremely important. And there was just a quote in the headlines, and maybe you saw this, that Vice President Pence said, Donald Trump is the most pro-life president we have ever had. And that encourages me. And right there, of course, that's a value. And some people say, oh, but don't be a one-issue voter. Don't, you know, if you can't, for me, here's how it works. If you don't stand for life and protecting life from conception to natural death, there is no further discussion. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat, independent, libertarian. I don't care. I'm not going to vote for you. Where are you at on the life issue? And to me, that's our tool for evaluation. Now, Dave, when we were on break, we were just talking about that and how that is kind of a great place to have discussion with folks. Dave, tell me a story that you just shared with me, and tell the listeners about how they can have this conversation with people that they know to see, have them question why they're voting the way they're voting.
Yeah, this was a guy, I'll use first name only, a guy named Scott, a broadcast colleague from almost two decades ago. And he says he's a Christian, and we are Facebook friends. We've got some distance between us in terms of miles these days. But I'm not the type generally to get into a squabble with somebody, a fight on social media. It's such a waste of time. And are you really convincing somebody? I mean, it's good if you can for the right reasons, but he was slamming me rather viciously about supporting Trump and, you know, pulling up character issues from years gone by or decades gone by for Trump. And I said, Scott, look, and we got on the pro-life or abortion thing. And I said, Scott, look, I said, you know, I'm a believer. And I said, yeah, Trump has many character flaws. And guess what? So do I. And so do you, if you want to admit it. And I said, we need to get past that kind of tit-for-tat nonsense, because it's really rather juvenile. And I said, look at it this way, in stark terms. Right now, the Republican Party is the party of life, and the Democrats are the party of death. If you believe in God Almighty, he wrote in his eternal word, he said, I have set before you blessings and cursings, life and death. Choose life, that you and your descendants might live. How hard is that? That's one of those, duh, it's that simple. I've set this before you. Here's what to choose. I even gave you the answer to it. And people try to pigeonhole you on the one act thing, the one topic thing. It's not that. It's I believe firmly that we're all the souls that have been through time are going to have to answer on where they stood on the life issue.
I totally agree. And I think that there's some value in knowing where we stand in our faith issue. I understand, and I know our listeners, you know, all of us believe a variety. I mean, there's folks that believe, you know, that in nature and believe in a creator, but they don't necessarily believe the God of the Bible, right? And we all have to evaluate where we stand with that, and we all will have to give an account, because we know, here's a fact, one out of us die. I mean, that's a true statistic, you know, and when we're looking at all these statistics right now with the plandemic, as I'm calling it now, you know, it's a fact. We don't know what tomorrow holds. All we know is what we have today. And so on the life issue, when we know who we are and whose we are, we can stand in courage and courageous. And I've got some very strong, faith-filled Black friends who have said during this discussion right now, and the riots and the things that are going on, that we are truly in an identity crisis. My identity is not in the color of my skin or the color of my hair. I've got red hair. Yes, those are identifiers, but that's not who I am. My identity is hidden in the Lord and my faith. And because of that, he's given me an immense amount of love for other people. And same with my faith-filled Black friends who said, this discussion is so far off base. We're in an identity crisis, and we need to come back, and we need a revival. And it is happening. And we're not hearing it in the media. There's revival going on. Have you seen indications of that even in Colorado?
I haven't in Colorado. We are praying to that effect. I'm very excited about what took place on California beaches in the last few weeks. I mean, thousands gave their heart to Christ. I mean, a lot of people are in fear because of, you know, what's coming upon the earth, if you will. That sounds very biblical in its terminology. But we're praying for a harvest of souls in Colorado in particular, because it's a blue state anymore. It didn't used to be that way. And we saw it turning. I mean, we've returned to Colorado, my wife and I, for the last 3 or 4 years. But, you know, my radio career took me to the Black Hills for a while, where you and I enjoyed working together. But predominantly, we're Colorado people. And we've seen it change big time. And, again, it just boils down to that simple choice of choose life.
And I think it's important as we talk with others, and I think that our listeners and our friends, as we're talking with our, we know those in our circle and circle of influence, and they're pretty strong in where they believe that they believe. And I still maintain those who've lost children to abortion, those who have family members who lost children to abortion, they feel like they can't stand strong for life because somehow they're causing harm or further harm to their loved one. And I will tell you this, having worked with many men and women who've lost children to abortion, they want people to stand with them, yes, but they also want people to protect life. And so I think it's an important issue when you're discussing with your family and friends, just as Dave has done, to say, reevaluate this. And look, you say you have a biblical worldview here, you know, talk to me about that and open those discussions. And as we look at the founding fathers and we look at Abraham Lincoln and certainly his Gettysburg Address and his boldness to look at humanity as equal. We're all created equal. God has created us equal, and we all have equal opportunity to go and pursue what we like. And that's the American dream. That's why we have immigrants here. People have come to this country for that opportunity and to see oppression happen and to see limited these businesses, several friends in Oregon businesses now being mandated and told that they have to do this or do that. They're the ones that have risked their own liberties, their own finances. They've mortgaged their homes. They've put all their stuff on the line. And now the government's got their hands in them telling them what they can or cannot do. Go ahead and read. We got another quote from Abraham Lincoln.
I was pulling this up as we were both looking up there at the heads on Mount Rushmore. Abraham Lincoln quote regarding pro-life. This struck me. My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right.
It's never wrong to do the right thing. And again, I think that's our basis of voting our values and truly standing strong. And when you look at the candidates, so when you look at our candidates running for Senate in Oregon, who lines up? Who lines up with the pro-life side? Who lines up in the House and the House districts with the pro-life sides? And it's time. I think it's time. If someone has been in office a considerable amount of time, maybe it's time for change. And I heard something interesting. It's time to vote red, replace every Democrat. and I have listeners right now, probably listening right now, who are Democrats, and they're pro-life Democrats, and they feel like they can stay in the party and make some changes, but the tide is so overwhelming. They're Kennedy Democrats. They cannot do it anymore. And yesterday I talked to a gentleman at the motorcycle rally who said, I used to be a Democrat, and I'm a Kennedy Democrat. The party is so changed. It's the Bernie Bros and all of that. It's so liberal and so socialist that I can't even, as a business owner, I just can't go there anymore. And so for the first time, he registered as a Republican. And I think that's certainly interesting. I also ran into an amazing couple from Sherwood, Oregon. I want to do a shout out. If they're listening this morning, I met Lisa and her husband and their business owners in Sherwood, Oregon. And I went up to her because she's a redhead too. And I said, hello, sister redhead. And she said, hello. I said, where are you from? She said, Oregon. I said, me too. And so I'm excited to be here in South Dakota and meet Oregonians and Washingtonians who are saying, oh, it's so good not to have to wear a mask and so free here. So Dave, when we talk about our liberty and pursuing of happiness and we're thinking about the future, how do you and Robin face the future knowing of all the uncertainty?
Just anchoring in God. I mean, we've we've kind of come out of darkness without going into a great detail from years ago. It's like just kind of, and I'm a prodigal son story. My dad was a pastor the last 4 years of his life, but I couldn't wait to get out from under that roof and go out and experience life my own way. And, you know, for a lot of years, I really screwed up and made a disaster of certain things in my life. And when I came back to God, man, it was the real deal. And it was a process. And my wife had somewhat of a parallel course. And anymore, we just press into God all the time.
What a great reminder to keep pressing in and keep looking up and being hope-filled. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a conversation under the shadow of Mount Rushmore at the Shrine of Democracy. We'll continue the conversation after this. Good morning to you from the Shrine of Democracy, Mount Rushmore, South Dakota. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and I'm hanging out with Dave Hunter. And Dave has been a mentor and a friend to me in radio for many years. We worked together at Christian Radio right here in the Black Hills of South Dakota. And he's traveled from Colorado to share this morning with us. And he has such a great perspective on life. And I wish we could go more into it, Dave, about your testimony and the good things that have happened in your life. And here's the thing. I think so many people think, you know, that if you walk with God, it's just going to be super duper easy. And it's fresh flowers and daisies and butterflies and, you know, no hardships and struggles. And I will beg to differ, right? I will beg to say that walking with God just gives you courage and helps you in those times of fear. Talk to us a little bit about fear, because there seems to be a whole bunch of it right now. What kind of message do you have with our listeners who are dealing with maybe some fear and maybe even some depression and oppression? What would you say to them?
Anchor into God. His word isn't iffy. It's black and white. It's the anchor of our souls. And trust God's word. Press into him. And I mean, whether you spend 40 minutes a day or 4 hours a day, just feast on the word of God. Regarding the fear thing, I can give you a quick story. A radio colleague of mine came to my bedside in 2016, the day before I was going to have my brain tumor operation. And he came into the hospital room and was chatting with me and my wife. And all of a sudden, he just stops us mid-sentence and goes, wait a minute. How can you two be so relaxed when they're going to cut into your head tomorrow for a brain tumor operation? And it opened the door to share our faith. You know, we don't walk in fear. You know, we walk in faith. And I'm one of those who underlines power verses in the Bible about, you know, trusting God. You know, and just always walking in great faith. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's true. That's the real deal. That's what you need to anchor into, and he'll guide you.
I often say fear is false evidence appearing real, right? And the reality is, fear is an emotion, and emotions are kind of a guide in a sense. It's a gauge of where you're at and your heart's at, and I don't want to diminish that, because there's a purpose for fear, true fear. But when we consume it and we build up anxiety and we keep entertaining it, and we just need to learn to release this. And for many years when I dealt with I was a foster mom, and I would have kids come in, and that they were very fear-filled. They've just lost their birth family. They don't know where they're living and all of that. I would say, hello, I'm Stacy, and I know you've got to be just turned inside out and upside down on what's just happened. We're glad to have you in our home. We pray in our home, and when I just want you to know that if you ever have a time where you're feeling uncertain or scared or filled with fear, that you can come to me at any time, and I'd be delighted to pray with you. And so that's the same to you, my friends listening today. If you've got something and you're really struggling in your life and you're like, I don't know what tomorrow holds, I will tell you to grab onto the one who holds your tomorrow and say a prayer. And if you need someone to pray with you, certainly I'd love to visit with you and pray with you and be of encouragement. That's important. And that's the thing about it. We think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. No, it's about community. It's about us being together, and really true community happens when we take that first step towards someone else and say, how can I help? How can I be kind? And I'm reminded out of the Bible, there's a scripture that I love. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And so when we come across those people in our path, in our lives, our family, who maybe they're not taking the path that you think that they should be taking, and you know differently, and you want to warn them, even like they're running into a traffic or something, the reality is it's their walk, and you can be there with them and encourage them. And if they ask you, hey, how would you do this? Then you're free to share. And I think there's a lot of that going on. People are looking for answers. And guess what? You and I, we have the answer. We have hope within us, and we're going to be a part of that solution.
I think you remember that I'm a big Keith Green fan from back in the day. And I think of his song, Asleep in the Light. And the lyrics go, do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. And we've got to be boisterous in our faith, outgoing, don't we?
We certainly do, and we may take on some criticism from our colleagues and contemporaries about how we're boldly sharing why we believe in what we believe, but this is the season, and I'm excited. For whatever reason, God has planned out for me to live right now, and I'm going to do the best that I can to encourage my audience and the friends that I'm meeting along the way and network for greater good, and we are going to turn up the kindness, we're going to turn up the light, and we're going to bring hope and help to all that we come in contact with. And that's the beauty of a community and being together. As we close out the show, we've got a few minutes left here, Dave. I want to say thank you for joining us today and being a part of the show. And I'm curious, you know, a lot of people do like a 5-year game plan with their life. And anymore, they're like, well, that was my game plan. It's completely changed and shift. Talk to me a little bit about what you see for you and Robin in the next few years.
Well, what God has moved me into lately is a lot of music production. I think, you know, our mutual friend Greg, he's halfway through that Christian album. And that already, just, you know, sending some recently mastered singles across the internet has really touched some lives. And for right now, that's what God has me doing on the side. Of course, my full-time thing is traffic reporter at a news talk radio station in Denver. But my hope and prayer is to be doing Christian radio again, ultimately. But I want to do it powerfully. I have some issues with a lot of music radio, Christian music radio. It's just kind of happy, smiley, you know, pat on the back, go about your day. And I want more in the meat away from the milk.
It's time that we equip, you know, and we empower, and we give something to do, be a part of the solution. And I've been a big one. Let's not just curse at the darkness, but let's turn up the light and let's do something to bring that change about. And I see you, Dave, possibly coming over into talk radio. Perhaps that's kind of your thing. My dream would be you and I together on a talk radio show. What do you think of that someday?
As they say, have your people call my people. We'll do lunch.
That would be fun. You know, with remote anymore, we could probably look at that as a possibility. But with your knowledge and your skill and certainly your technology, if someone was out there thinking about doing an album and they wanted to maybe have you help them come alongside produce that, do you have a way that people could get a hold of you?
The best way is just old-fashioned email. Because I just use DRS audio as if it says doctor's audio. That's what I do, audio sweetening, but DRS audio at hotmail.com. That's old school, huh? Hotmail, who uses that?
Oh, I bet that email's like 25 years old or so. Yes. And so Dave Hunter, he could help you. And there's some people that I know, too, that want to read and have music underneath of their voice and give that out as inspiration. I bet you could help them with that as well, couldn't you? Yes. Well, send our love to your beautiful wife. Tell Robin hello. Thank you for coming here and driving here. We're so glad to have you. We are broadcasting from the Shrine of Democracy, Mount Rushmore. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. Again, get a hold of me with your comments, with your prayer requests. You can email me, Stacy@KSLM.news. Have a fantastic weekend. Remember, go out and give them heaven. No matter what you're facing today, over, under, around, or through, you and I for overcomers. Have a blessed weekend.
Mandisa. Right on.